But we're going to turn to the issue of nursing home charges first. And for around 30 years from 1975, the state illegally charged fees to residents of nursing homes on medical cards who were entitled to free care. A compensation scheme established under the Fianna Fáil PD government to reimburse families excluded those whose relatives had died before 1988, and the health repayment scheme also excluded those who had used private nursing homes. Now, the legal basis for these exclusions has not been tested in court because the state settled with any family who got as far as seeking discovery of documents relevant to their cases in preparation for legal actions. And following coverage in the Mail on Sunday and Daily Mail, this was raised at Leaders' Questions in the Dáil today. You heard this clip in the news, but it's worth playing again. Here's the Taoiseach earlier.
The strategy was to defend the cases relating to private nursing homes on several grounds. In particular, that medical card holders did not have an entitlement to free private nursing home care. It was never the policy of the government, nor the intention of the Oireachtas, to create such an entitlement. Even today, Deputy, people with medical cards, for one reason or another, either choose or are forced to avail of private healthcare and social care. They don't get a refund, not even now.
That was the Taoiseach, and here's Social Democrat leader Róisín Seortáil.
So, Taoiseach, the government has now conceded the legal strategy which the Mail has revealed does in fact exist, but has said it predates 2011. That was the statement from government last night. So can you tell us, when was this strategy first devised? Do you accept you were made aware of it? And when were you made aware of it? A more significant issue, I think, for all of those ministers during that period is, did you, Taoiseach, or any of those ministers ever question this legal strategy to determine if it was fair and if people were being unfairly penalised for being denied access to nursing home care?
Róisín Seortáil, co-leader of the Social Democrats there. Jennifer Bray, can you explain to us what the key accusation being levelled at ministers there? We heard Róisín Seortáil asking who knew what, when, but also the level of challenge that was applied by any health minister. Is that the core of it, or is there more?
I think that is the core of it. So basically, this was a strategy that was devised pre-2011. It concerned, so there were obviously, as you mentioned, the patients in public nursing homes who were illegally charged. There was a fund that was set up to repay them. But then there was another group of people who were residents of private nursing homes. And effectively, their argument was because there was no space in the public nursing homes that they were entitled to a refund. So a strategy was devised that there were multiple meetings between ministers, between officials pre-2011. We don't know the exact date, but we know that it was pre-2011. And the strategy basically was aimed at containing the state's potential liability, because the state, you know, and in their arguments, or I suppose in these discussions behind closed doors, were contending that they did have a defence to this, that these people were not entitled to a refund. And I think there was a number of things that were discussed in those meetings, such as the statute of limitations, interpretation of legislation. But the big concern basically was that if one of these cases did succeed, that it would set a precedent that could open the floodgates, as they saw it, to anywhere up to, and actually an important figure would be in that original 500 million euro fund for the people in the public nursing homes who were given repayments and payments on foot of that. There were around 5,000 people, as my understanding, who applied to be part of that, but who had been in private nursing homes. Obviously, they were not let into that scheme because it did not include them. 2,500 of those people, I think, appealed that. So what they were looking at were thousands of people who felt they should have been entitled to refunds because they had no other choice, potentially taking a case against the state and being successful. And that's what the crux of this case is about. They didn't want that.
And another cohort of people who were on medical cards but who were denied compensation by this 1988 cut-off date, if they were included too, there would have been another cohort compensated. So confident of being able to defend this, and the Taoiseach making a robust defence today, but not so confident that they actually took it to court.
Exactly. So this is one of the questions that was raised in the Dáil today, and I think it will be one of the big issues during the week, is how come there were settlements made? What exactly, you know, if the government was sure that there was a defence there, why didn't it defend the cases? Why didn't it go ahead? My understanding is that what they wanted to do originally was to find one case that would act as a test case on behalf of the government that would show them that the following claims, resulting claims, would not succeed. I think because it was so contained, that actually the flood of cases they expected didn't come. And like one of the things they were, I think, talking about at the time was, you know, if we publicise this strategy, that effectively people will become aware of it and they'll cotton on to that and then apply.
There'll be a test case in the other direction of somebody who's confident of winning against the state. Oh, the Taoiseach was unhappy with how this is being reported, how it's being discussed. Mm. What's the complaint?
Well, he's saying it's, I think the phrase he used was been grossly misrepresented. Now, I presume he means grossly misrepresented by the media, but also by the opposition, because Sinn Féin, their contention in the Dáil was that successive governments have been involved in effectively trying to rip people off of their entitlements. That's what Sinn Féin said in the Dáil today. The overarcher's assertion is that this was a policy down through successive governments on the advice of the Attorney General, and that all ministers present and past were acting in good faith on advice of the Attorney General in a manner that is according to the law, and that's how it should be. However, I think that question of the settlements will come up. Now, my understanding is that some of the cases were very complicated. Some of the cases could have had additional factors that perhaps made them more likely to succeed. And I think in those cases, the government or the Attorney General's office and legal advice probably would have gone down the road of settling.
Some people whose cases maybe had merit, but they missed the deadline for application, I think.
And I think there was also allegations, and you know there's been a lot of criticism down through the years of the operation of the form of the health boards, which has become the HSE. I think maybe there could have been issues there around how individual cases were managed. And I think that might be the reason why some of the cases were settled. But we don't have any clarity on that. And what we also don't know is, you know, this always comes up in politics. Who knew previous ministers? I mean, we had Brendan Howland today who purportedly was copied into the original memo, and he said he had no recollection of that. He couldn't remember. Look, it's totally feasible, I think, that ministers have an awful lot coming across their desk. But I think it is a valid question to ask of the ministers who were there now. Did they approve of this strategy? Did they ever consent to it? Did they ever, say, reaffirm it effectively? Where is the documentation behind that so people can see transparently exactly what happened? Because if the government says there's nothing to see here and this is just a legal strategy we stand over, then I think people have the right to see the documentation to back up their claims.
And then tonight, RT Investigates is also seen a cabinet memo from 2009 that was dealing with the area of people who were in long-term care. Their disability allowance were denied to them to use to pay towards this. This was regarded as not being on a sound legal basis as well. But again, the memo said that a trawl shouldn't be conducted of HSE records to get similar cases because it could, quote, generate further claims which otherwise would not have been made. So a similarity in approach there, although I appreciate the panel here. This is just broken on prime time this evening, so you wouldn't have had an opportunity to see the ins and outs of it. Paul Donnelly, to you first. The issue that as it stands is, you know, who knew what when, which is important to determine. But for the people who are affected by it, surely having this determined and the state's defence determined in a court of law to discover who's right and who's wrong in this is the best and clearest way to progress from here.
I think it would have been. It would have been if people had been given the full facts and people had been given the opportunity and would have known that this was a strategy, a secret strategy that was being used by the government. And I think it's important to note when we listen to Leo Varadkar today, when he said yesterday that he knew nothing about this strategy, said it on radio, I think it was. And today now comes out and says, actually, well, you know, I think it's one of those mature recollections. I think he was briefed on this. So what we need, I think, at this moment in time is sort of full open facts. We need to see transparently all of the documentation, all of the emails, everything that was passed, the strategy that they'd put in place to be laid out in front of the people to give them an opportunity to decide, well, where does truth lie? But it's clear, it is absolutely clear that people were charged illegally for nursing home care and there was a legal strategy to deny people the money that they had paid over.
Malcolm Noonan.
Yeah, and what Taoiseach did do today was which he outlined a way forward in terms of the government seeking the Department of Health and the AG to formulate a report, and that report would be obviously brought back to Cabinet. there'll be statements in the Dáil next week, and the Health Committee will have the opportunity to debate it as well with the HSE. So I agree with Paul in the sense of documents, memos and documents should be made available in relation to this, to clear up this. Again, I'm not sure about the legalities of releasing memos, but certainly I do think that documents, all documentation should be brought forward. And the Taoiseach did say, I recall in the Dáil today, that he said, I must have been briefed on it. So at some point he must have been briefed on it.
But yesterday he said... He wasn't briefed.
Yeah, and again, as Jennifer said, ministers are briefed daily on many, many different issues, and it is something, as I said, once we get the full information, I think that's critically important. It's really important that the Department of Health and the AG, when they furnish that report back to government, we do have a way forward in terms of the statements that will take place next, that has been agreed to take place next week in the Dáil, and the Health Committee having the opportunity to debate it in full. Then only then will we get the full background information in relation to this.
All right. Michael Fitzmaurice, do you accept that more clarity is needed? Do you think that report is the way to get to it?
I think that all documents associated with this should be made available. All the advice given by what I call the permanent government down through the years needs to be given out as well. The ministers that were aware of it. But I think this is a bigger problem. There's a sad fact in this country that, especially if you're a poor person, some of them people scrape money to try and keep their loved ones in the different places, be it with disability. And I remember a few years ago, we had one of those cases that has broke tonight. Or be it someone that had to go into residential care. And generally, when someone mentions a solicitor or going to court, people run away from it because they haven't the money. And it's only the people that would have the wherewithal in the line of money to fight a case or frighten the state. And when you look at, and like you only get a small percentage, like them saying now that there was a certain amount of cases, and yeah, that may be right, but there could be an awful lot more cases where people were, they're afraid to go in the doors of a court because the law, if you lose, you're in trouble. And why, if they were so strong in their case, the state, that they believed on the advice of the Attorney General, why would you give out 40, 50, 60%? Something isn't right or doesn't add up here. I don't want to jump to conclusions. I think that all the documentation and everything should be released about this. And whoever was briefed on it, like, if you were briefed on something as, say, something like that as a minister, I'd say you'd remember it for a long time in your life. So I just wonder what's going on. And what more? Like, we see today, or I saw yesterday, I brought it up in the Dáil leaders' questions about, like I said, road bridge when they went, some of their workers were getting different redundancy. And I brought that up in the Dáil, and I went to the now Taoiseach's department when he was over that, and they says, no. Fair play to SIPTU or the union that win mandate, that went and fought the case, and it has been won for those workers now. All right. Like, the government will always tell you, no, this is our advice. But frightening people.
But if you're a minister new into a brief, Paul Donnelly, and somebody comes to you and says, this is the advice, the best legal advice we have, challenging the legal advice is going to open a can of worms. Do ministers go against what's been told to them is the best available legal advice?
Ministers get briefings all the time. Ministers are given advice all of the time. They don't have to accept it. And, you know, I think if that advice was given, and if people...
So somebody goes to a minister and says, this is the best available legal advice, you go against this at your peril. If you decide to do a solo run on this, you're opening the state up to potentially billions in bills. Yeah. That's on your head, Minister. Are you happy with that?
Who are you representing? The people or the civil servants? Like, this is what you have to decide.
And I think the key point is that the strategy was based on the fact, from what I understand, was based on the fact that if people had the wherewithal to be able to bring the case further, then they were paid off.
Great.
If people hadn't got the wherewithal, i.e. people who were brought to the brink of poverty by these charges, they knew they hadn't got the wherewithal. They hadn't got the wherewithal to provide food for people, let alone go to a solicitor and say, I'm going to risk 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 grand. They didn't have that money. They were on the brink of poverty. And if somebody came to me, I mean, how could you sit there and say, well, I'm going to put the interests of the state above those people who were brought to the brink of poverty? I think that's just, that would be appalling.
Maybe there were different considerations at play in 2011, Jennifer Bray, when the state's coffers were in a slightly more threadbare state.
Exactly, yeah. And I was going to say that the health service was financially shambolic, but, you know, probably best not getting into that. I think that my suspicion is that there are a whole range of legal strategies that every government and successive governments have used in relation to any scheme. It could be anything. You know, I'm thinking, like, when you talk about schemes like the Mother and Baby Home Redress Scheme, or people in Donegal, MICA homeowners who don't get 100% redress, there is always this balance that it seems to me officials, whether it's in the Department of Finance, whether it's an Attorney General, try to strike in terms of, as they say, protecting the taxpayer. And I think this is a really good example of, you know, like the phrase was said here earlier, who were the government putting first? Was it the state and the coffers, or were the interests of these people? And I think that goes to the heart of this debate. And I think you saw in primetime tonight another example of a legal strategy. And it is my suspicion that there are many such legal strategies like this devised by people trying to save money that would probably create a similar reaction. Not that I'm excusing it, but it is the policy of government.
It also makes the assumption that those affected aren't in some way taxpayers or entitled to the same protection.
We bailed out the bankers and the bondholders to the tune of about $62 billion in the same period.
Malcolm Noonan, going back to the legal issue, though, I mean, isn't it worth testing, A, what people's entitlements are, those who were cut off by the 1988 deadline, to see if that was based on a sound legal principle? And secondly, those who were affected by the denial of compensation for people who were either forced into or had to seek private nursing home care, to see what their entitlement might be. And then the level of the state's liability, and to do it soon, because, as Michael Fitzmaurice was saying, often these were people of very limited means because of what they had to pay out.
Yeah, and again, we're speculating here. I think it is important that we get that the report that comes forward for the government from the Department of Health, from the HSE, and from the AG, that will inform. And I think the documentation, making that available to, is critically important in terms of the Health Committee debate on it and the statements next week. And I think until such a time as we have that information before us, I think then we really need to wait until then to have a more critical overview of it, what the rationale and thinking was behind all of this.
And then what happens? I mean, if a compensation fund was to be set up, are we looking at deciding who should benefit, or are we looking at at that point probably court cases opening up and having to put things into deep freeze in terms of Oireachtas discussions of matters that might be before the courts?
Again, I don't know, because the Taoiseach was quite clear today in response to Marianne McDonald that it was a sound policy approach, and he was quite confident of that. So it just, again, you know, that's why I think for moderate perspectives, it is important that we wait until we have the documentation, and we wait till the debate takes place in the Dáil next week, and we wait until the Health Committee has had an ability to go through, to deep dive into what actually happened here.
Jennifer?
Oh, no, I was just thinking in terms of how it's interesting. You know, the government are obviously taking some time to get their ducks in a row and get their facts established, but this does push this story into next week and into mid-February. I think this is going to be a long-running saga for the government.
It could be, but I mean, in fairness, I mean, the Business Committee decided that you know, there wasn't time this week, and I think it was only right that they are able to give ample time to it to next week, so I can appreciate that, and it will run into the weekend and well into next week, and it probably has potential to run longer, but I do think it's critically important that we do delve into this in a meaningful way.
Yeah, and just I suppose, but before we leave it, the issue of the Taoiseach's assertion that this was a sound basis on which to defend these cases, they never were defended in court, so okay, that seems to be at odds with.
I'm not sure what he was referring to there. I'm just taking from what he said in the Dáil today. So I just think I'll say it again, we just have to wait until we have the full facts before us.
Michael Fitzmaurice, there's a joint statement from your own group of rural independents.
I'm not a rural independent.
I beg your pardon.
I am a rural independent, but I'm not in the group.
All right, okay. All right. I do, I beg your pardon. But they're... Would you What sequencing would you like to see on this? Would you like to see a rapid discussion of this in the Oireachtas first, or would you prefer to see people have their day in court?
The first thing that has to happen is, and I think in fairness to Mark, I might agree with him on that, that over the next few days, and for the next week, and I know it's running into next week, but like, we need to get all the facts out. A lot of people, we're working in the dark here at the moment, to be quite frank about it, and we don't want to say something that's wrong, so I think all the information needs to be out on the table.
But right, including this other issue of the disability.
Most definitely, because the whole lot is connected. And I think that one thing we don't want done, and we're very clear on this, is that these permanent government people don't go hiding any or holding any documents, that everything that's there is out up front, and that the Dáil and the Seanad can see it. And after that, then you decide what's going to happen. But I would be very surprised. Unfortunately, maybe some of those people now passed away, unfortunately. But I would be very surprised if you don't see a substantial, amount of people coming forward in what Prime Time has done tonight, and in the other case, over the coming weeks, for people who feel they've been aggrieved with what has happened.
All right, well, we have a few texts in here and tweets from listeners. One saying, if the government is seeking the advice of the AG, and it has been previous AG who supported the strategy of protecting the government from liability, then who exactly is the AG representing? The government or the people who have been wrongly charged? Although I think some of the legal advice came from within the department, I think. Somebody else saying that one thing people have missed in this debate is the people who couldn't afford private nursing homes and put careers and lives on hold to care for loved ones well before careers were recognised in the state. And somebody else saying that this will bring the government down. Well, that indeed remains to be seen.